Today's episode of the Talos of Tech podcast is sponsored by Surette Wallpapers, spelled S-U-R-E-T, wallpapers, and they've sorted through thousands of images to deliver the most marvelous high-quality wallpapers for each of you. Hand-picked and handmade wallpapers for iPhone and the iPad, and they also make stunning blurred wallpapers easily with their own built-in blur tool. Brand new wallpapers are coming frequently. Download now to get access to the infinite content. And once again, thank you for sponsoring this episode of the Talos of Tech podcast, Surette Wallpapers, S-U-R-E-T on the App Store. Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today we got quite a full group of people. We've got our regulars, Nick and Randy. How's it going?
Yo, 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 yo.
Hey.
Thanks for coming back. Sorry we missed a week there. And we're also joined with our app developer, Ethan. How's it going?
Hello.
Thanks good. For joining us.
good energy, Ethan. Good energy.
Hashtag awkward intros.
Yes, to compensate for Randy's over-the-top passion.
Yeah.
All three of you
I need
have
to bring
to.
It down a bit.
Well, we've got lots of stuff to talk about because we missed a week, so we apologize to the audio listeners who rely on this for their daily routine or something. Or
daily?
Or
weekly. Whatever.
Yeah, a weekly show.
Questions. Yeah, they listen to the questions. Episode.
We gave
times.
You guys a week to catch up because I was getting so many tweets of people like, hey, I'm on the Tesla episode. I'm like, oh, okay. So this was your week of catch up. So
this was your catch up episode. Yeah. This makes a lot of sense, actually. So they should be thanking us. Anyways.
You're welcome.
I was wondering if we could start it off with some Tesla talk because there were some Tesla Ooh. Changes that have probably been overshadowed by the Galaxy Fold, which I'm sure you guys have thoughts on, but we'll get into that because I'm sick of talking about it.
Is it about Elon being a sheep on Twitter?
No, becoming though I did see that.
That was good.
Do you see his profile picture changes faster than the Model 3 pricing?
Yeah, now
it
it's like
does.
An
Elon
Musk.
So
you
that's,
said that so unironically. Yeah. That's the best
which
part.
Which is factually correct. That is completely accurate.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys how you felt about Tesla kind of scrapping the Model 3 that started at 35K. I mean, you can still kind of get it, but for those of you who don't know, basically, they removed it from the website, and it's now considered a special order.
Off menu.
Mm-hmm.
A special
order? Or you can get one, like, if you go to a authorized reseller, like, you've got to go to a store or whatever. Not a reseller, sorry. Retailer. And it doesn't have autopilot in it, and they even are removing a lot of features that are like built into the car over software update. And now the Model 3 starts at $39,500 with autopilot included, but it's just kind of bizarre how wishy-washy they've been on the pricing of these cars so suddenly. We've gotten like two drastic price changes within a month. So I'll just go across the FaceTime call that the audience can't see. Let's start with Nick. What do you think?
Okay, yeah. So I was first off shocked when Tesla announced. You know, I was. It wasn't even an announcement, really. I was just on Twitter and I saw like everyone was like, "Oh, a leasing is out."
That's right. Yeah.
Model 3's base price got dropped, and the partial self driving got dropped too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, that's weird." So I went through and configured a few cars and looked around at it, and I was. Let's say I wasn't shocked, but it was a little puzzling why they got rid of it.
For
because,
sure.
Because, you know, Tesla's a big company, and you think, so their margins aren't good, right? Like, every company survives on margins. It costs them maybe $34,500 to make one of these Model 3s, and they were selling them for $35,000, or, you know, you make up the numbers.
Right, right.
And their margins weren't enough. They were only making a little bit off of each car that they sold at that price point. And so I think they figured out pretty quick because it was a very popular car.
Right.
Like everyone's like, oh, good, $35,000. And I think when they originally introduced the $35,000 one, they thought people would upgrade the autopilot and, you know,
get all the DLC
or whatever. Yeah, exactly. But everyone was just ordering black, basic $35,000 cars.
Cheap as possible. Just like, selling both their old cars, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so and so I think Tesla realized that pretty quick, and they're like, oh, well, we can't afford to do this.
Yeah.
And so that's why that plus option, the standard range plus, is, I think the standard range plus is probably a better deal out of the two.
Sure.
Probably what I would have gotten, because there's only another, I believe, 2,000 or 2,500 for leather seats, you know, automatic, mm-hmm. heated seats, you know, it was a much, you know, instead of the cloth and whatever you had in the yeah. base model.
Right, right.
But
it was a deal for the autopilot, for sure, because before it was a...
Yeah, 7,000 for total.
Right, right. Before, it was like a $3,000 extra to get the enhanced autopilot.
Yeah,
and now definitely. They're just including it by default at an extra $2,000. So, I mean, a savings, but they're the ones who set the pricing in the first place. So, I'm kind of like, well, sort of, yeah. But I can, I think probably in hindsight, it would have been smarter for them to not release the 35K if they couldn't handle the volume that people were going to be ordering it. So what did you think, Randy?
Yeah, I saw, funny enough, yesterday I saw a base model black Model 3 on the road.
Same.
Oh, how basic.
And I looked at him, and Tesla. And he was all content. I can tell he didn't have the enhanced autopilot going on because he was manually in control on the freeway.
Ew.
peasant. But here's the thing. I don't speak poor. So my only issue, though, about it is that I agree with what you say, Nick, in the whole they thought they were expecting more people to get the upgrade. Problem is, if you were just using 35K as the price tag, you got to own it. Like,
right.
That is the enticing feature. Like you said, Drew, they set the price. We didn't set the price. They mm-hmm. did. So for me, what was enticing, and I mean, all three of us talked about it, was I can see myself definitely getting the base Model 3 with adding the enhanced autopilot and then maybe wrapping the vehicle.
There you go. Sure.
For it.
Yeah.
Because then I can make it very distinct on its own compared to our five base colors, and
sure.
I would have to pay a grand for that. I would rather pay maybe a little bit more or a little less, depending on where you go, and you
right.
would get the you know, you get to customize a little bit more. So I was
the
definitely
PewDiePie wrap.
I was in favor. Yeah. Wait, what'd you say?
So you know, my dream Tesla is a Model Y, but I would get a PewDiePie wrap. So you know, like
yeah.
the PewDiePie
like swirls.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
want to
talk
God.
About a that's. That's.
I'm pretty sure people would just have seizures driving down the freeway, just like the lines or whatever. And
well,
all
they
like,
would
tricks out your brain.
The audience can't see this, but they would turn on autopilot and then just lower the chair down.
But can you do
can
this?
Can you do this? They'd lower the seats way down while they're driving. Oh
so
my
I,
God!
Yeah, I don't want. I get from a business point why they have to raise their prices, but the thing is, I don't like how it went up 4,000 more. For what used to be that, and now I think ultimately I'll still end up getting the one that I want because you know, as we talked about, I want the longer range battery, which is a
right.
lot. And so mm-hmm. with and when Nick and I went to the Tesla a few months ago, and we realized that if, for my specific needs, it would be better just to get the performance one anyway, so just to cap
yeah.
out. But mm-hmm. my thing is that now everything's being upped in price. Right, even those other level, mm-hmm. Those other tiers. Drew's saying yes, Nick
sure
is saying no.
The same. I'm pretty sure they stayed the same.
If they stay the same, then
you
I'm cool.
You can still
cool
top it out at 66,000.
I'm the base guy. I'm the one who'll get the cheapest, lowest range. So I don't.
The
look
thing
at
is, though, like,
you would get the black Model
the
3. Right?
That's right.
One is perfect as
black
is
fine.
35 was perfect as is. I would consider like I can suck up my dream whatever because I acknowledge that Tesla will not be a one and done vehicle for me that. Every maybe 5 or 10 years, I would upgrade just based on a maybe performance of the battery or maybe new features. I would treat
right,
it
right.
as such. I would very much would have enjoyed keeping. I would do with the Tesla what I do with my phones. I would not lease it. I would buy it and then I would resell
yeah.
it a couple of years later to turn a pretty hefty profit because those things still hold their value.
Yeah.
And
profit. Yeah.
I would like to then at that point, you know, get whatever it would be. Half a decade later. But with that all being said, I missed the 35, and I don't like what the 35 entails now as, like, taking away the stuff that was supposed to be the attention grabber in the first place.
Mm.
Well, so they got rid of the 35, but the $37,000 Performance Plus is still available, right?
That's the base now.
I think so.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're going to buy a car, like if you went to Toyota and you were like, I want a brand new Highlander, and the difference between, you know, the base model and the one with a slightly better trim was $2,500, no one would bat an eye to that. Like, that's very standard. And I guess I'm confused on why.
You're very standard.
Well, okay, hold on a second. I want to hear what...
Nick has left the chat.
Yeah. I want to hear what Ethan has to think about the
price.
Yes,
oh, yes, sorry.
What
yes,
do you
yes.
think, Ethan?
Well, did the base model originally have autopilot, like before?
No.
You could add it.
The 35K did not have...
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain basic things like the auto braking and the car awareness mm-hmm. around it. So, like, the basic safety stuff will always be there.
Yeah.
They're not making safety DLC, thankfully. But the kind of extra features were the, like, steering on the freeway and the lane changing. Yeah. And they just sent out an update. I was watching a few videos on it of the more recent autopilot update allows the car to decide to change lanes on its own. So, like, when we were testing our Model 3 a few weeks back, it didn't do that. You just would turn on the blinker, and then it would change lanes on its own. Now, if there's a car in front of you and it's going too slow, with the autopilot being a default thing,
cool.
It will be like, oh, this person's going too slow, I'm going to change on my own, and it'll turn on the blinker and go around them and everything. So, yeah, but before, the 35,000 one didn't have that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Tesla, it's... Sure, it's like money. They need more money and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's mostly they just want that these cars that people buy now to be able to have self-driving in the future.
Mm.
They don't want some grandma that buys a Tesla now, the base model, that eventually she finds out she can't do self-driving or
true.
They get potential lawsuits or whatever. I think they just want to streamline the hardware and the cars for self-driving for all the cars that's available.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. They're likely thinking, like, too many people are just buying the car because it's a Tesla and they're not understanding the different tiers. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I agree, the simplifying it to what they made the lineup, even though, like, at one point it was starting at 35K and now it's not that anymore. I do appreciate the simplification because it means that now instead of there being enhanced autopilot and also full self-driving as being a separate tier... Now there's just one. It's just like, okay, autopilot's included, which is great because we had a whole podcast about should you get that and, you know, how much it is. And now the decision's been made for us, so we don't even have to worry about it. Now if you buy a Model 3, at least off the website, unless you do the special order for the 35,000 one, you will get the enhanced autopilot features by default. That's just included now, which I like. And if you want to invest early for that full self-driving when it comes out later, which we don't exactly know
later
when.
This decade.
Yeah. It will come out at some point in the 2020s. Hopefully.
At some point.
Right. And Elon even tweeted, which upset some people, like, full self-driving mode will increasingly get more expensive over time, like, drastically. And I was like, he wants you to get it now. I think that's where they're making their money, is those extra purchases.
The DLCs, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Obviously.
It's a EA situation.
It's like Tesla has a captive audience now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like if you bought a Model 3 and you were cheap at the beginning and you didn't pay the extra $5,000, then, like, they're trying to incentivize you. Hey, give us another $5,000 again.
Yeah.
They might be losing money on the base models.
Oh, they're at least breaking even. Their cash flow is positive.
But yeah, with just the amount of research and development and engineering that went into it.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the whole company's been bleeding money, and they're just now turning profits, which is exciting. But, yeah, it's interesting because I really want to see Tesla succeed, but at the same time, I'm seeing their business model kind of start to erode away.
You're eroding away. You don't talk about my Tesla like that.
What do you mean eroding?
So when Tesla offered the original $35,000 one, everyone was all like, yay, it's finally here. And they're just making these changes so quickly.
Yes.
Like, December or like early January, like when we were talking and I was in Hawaii, like they just changed something. I don't remember what they had changed, but they changed something. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it. It was news. And then in February, when they added the $30,000 one, it was news. And then they got rid of it last month or you know, a couple weeks ago, and it was news again. And it's just like they're changing so fast. And that is something that Tesla is good at. But that's not how the car industry works.
Right.
So could you imagine if you bought an iPhone XS Max day after launch day, and then 2 weeks later, Apple was like, oh, by the way, we forgot about this other model, or like we got rid of that one, or they change it up too much,
yeah.
Which is good for them because they're able to be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
SpaceX is really famous for this. None of their Falcon 9 rockets are the same. They're always making changes. They're always making improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla is very similar. They're always, you know, tweaking things, you know, figuring out the production and making it a little bit more efficient here and there.
Right.
And it's good that they're able to be that, dynamic or whatever, being able to change that much.
Adaptable.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for remembering the business word that I learned in How to Speak Business 101.
Yes. You're welcome.
Well, good for you, Nick. Good for you.
But yeah, so
that's a good point.
I see why they're doing it, but it's frustrating for buyers because,
Are you saying you would rather that you wait a year or two for the 2019 model for all these spec bumps and stuff like that?
Yeah.
But yeah.
So here's the thing. I honestly, my dream car, and I've said this a million times, I'm going to say it again. My dream car is a Model S with a Model 3 interior.
So,
all right. So, P100D, you know, 2.1 seconds of acceleration, all that fun stuff, with a Model 3 interior. Since they just update, they've made, Elon said, we're on version 4 or 5 of the Model S and X,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're making all these incremental changes that add up to certain things. And so I haven't, you know, obviously I don't have the money for it, but if I could buy a Model S, I would feel very apprehensive about buying a Model S today because it's obviously outdated. The interior is so outdated.
Yeah, a lot of people have brought that up, how like the 3 and the Y and everything is getting a lot of attention, but the Model S and X haven't gotten much changes at all lately.
Yeah, and since we can't point to Tesla's, like, fall event or, you know, Tesla's September event to say, okay, every single year we're going to get, you know, no matter how small, we're going to get some kind of an update on, you know, the cars, then I can't confidently buy something. It's the same as buying an iPhone in August.
But
you don't buy iPhones in August.
I have wholeheartedly disagree. And the reason why is because these updates, they're software updates. If there's something that they can enhance the performance on, why would they want to wait some arbitrary date a year later to push an update? If there's a hardware update, that much I can understand a little bit more about waiting. But if they're just scrapping, if it's a business model of trying to have, you know, bigger margins going through,
mm-hmm.
and
true.
They just like, no, we're going to cut off this partial, you know, kind of driving, not really self-driving. It's either you have it or you don't, and you can buy that in an update. It's all software-based. When they have these new specs and these new features that are compatible with the hardware, and they're just pushing it out over, you know, over their, not Wi-Fi, but over their internet to give you the firmware update, mm-hmm. I don't think they should wait some random date. Let's do it every summer event. They should do it when it's ready, because these are vehicles that's taking care of people's lives. You know, that their whole point is safer driving. I think they should push it out as quickly as possible. And if that means they got to change pricing in the process, I get that.
It's kind of a double-edged sword when you think about it a little bit, because I've seen a lot of people complain actually about their Model 3 purchase, not because the car is bad or anything, but because they found out, like, if they would have waited the 6 months, they could have gotten this or this range or this purchase for, like, $6,000 less than what they paid because the pricing changes so much, which means that you don't necessarily have people that, like, hate that they bought their Tesla, but they have a lot of remorse of, like, oh, shoot, I don't know when the right time is to buy this car because – one time of the year, it's this price, and I go, okay, cool. And then you buy it, and then 6 months later, what you just bought.
No, you wake up the next morning, and Elon tweets something.
Yeah. You get an Elon months. Notification on your phone. Oh, no. Stop. You should just, if you buy your Model 3, just unfollow Elon for a little while. Just, like, don't listen to any tweets. He's like, by the way, we just, the day after you buy your Model 3, by the way, it's 15 grand now. We just lowered it. Yeah. For the
every
full
time
range
you
version,
the stock changes.
It's yeah. it's kind of like buying a house where I in the sense that don't look at it and compare your vehicle to other people's vehicles at the time of the purchase because that's what the market was for the vehicle at the time of purchase. It might
yes.
change a year or so later down the road, but we can all kick and stream like, man, I should have invested in real estate when the Morgan house had crashed. About a decade ago. Oh, I should have bought a property then, or all these coulda, shouldas. I should have waited. The thing is, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow, and maybe even Elon doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Who knows? But
no, he probably doesn't.
you buy your vehicle or your phone or your whatever at the what you are willing to pay today, and if you are okay with that purchase, own it for what. I bought the iPhone. SE 32 gigs, and then 6 months later they came out with the 64 gig SE for same price. Well, I saw the value of it being $399 back then for what it was, and so you kind of just, yeah, is there a better deal? Sure, but instead of kicking and complaining about, man, darn, you could just be happy for what it is. If you're willing to pay what the specs are today, have at it. And if the new changes for Tesla or for phones or whatever, if the new changes persuade you like, I don't think it's worth what it is now, then that's something you can consider. But I think look at it for what it is, that this is, it's not $100. It's thousands of dollars. And we're all anybody would take out a loan for the most part. Don't do it, though. But anyone would take out a loan instead of buying the cash out. I got that covered, Drew. I got you covered on that part, Drew. But
thank you.
Yeah.
I think the annoyance people have is, for the most part, with our phones and our iPads and our MacBooks, we can predict when the next ones are coming out, and we can kind of find the ripe season, like produce to a certain extent, like apples.
It's in season.
You know,
apple
we can
season.
Be like, once the new iPhones just come out, you can be like, you can buy this one and it'll be the latest one and it'll be that much for another 12 months. And that's pretty for sure. And people are used to, in the automotive industry, things not moving as quickly because not that much technology or software has ever influenced cars very much in the past. It's usually just, here's what our engine has figured out, miles per gallon. Here's what we've decided on, and the software has very little to do with the car experience. Whereas now that we're getting car companies like Tesla, where the software can drastically change so much, and the technology is so new, and they're constantly trying to stabilize and figure out what price points they need to fix in on, like, we don't have a routine yet. We don't have a ripe season yet, and people aren't sure, like, so wait, when is the right time to get one? When is the time where it's going to be the most up-to-date for the longest and I'm not about to get ripped off? So everyone, I feel like, is getting cautious because it's like they need a new phone, but the next iPhone keynote is constantly 2 weeks away and they don't know. Like, they're constantly afraid of getting ripped off at the last second, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why everyone's like, I don't know when to buy. I don't know what the routine is. And the Model S and the Model X haven't been touched barely in the past few years, where they're doing everything to the Model 3, and then the Model Y is also, like, I don't know what the buy season is. But I do think you're right, Randy. You kind of have to accept in the moment, accept what you can afford, what you can get, and try not to look at prices after you buy it.
Yeah.
But it's more fun to whine and complain about it on the internet.
That's very true, Nick. That's a great point.
What do you think, Ethan?
I think that they should have some kind of better schedule, definitely.
Yes.
Somewhat like Apple's, where they do a keynote every few years. They don't need to do it annually, because I think that would be bad. But I think that people are still buying Teslas. It's not like they're going to just... No one's going to buy Teslas because they think they're going to be ripped off.
Right.
There's still, it's, and it's changing not drastically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a lot of money that's changing, but it's not changing in the tens of thousands.
True.
Usually.
And the design of the car is pretty focused and fixed in.
And they still get, yeah, they still get software updates. They still get all these things for the next somewhat 10 years. We can't tell. But we know that if you buy a Model 3 now, it's going to be supported and can be get self-driving eventually. Mm-hmm. And if you buy a Model S and X, it's still going to get somewhat the same features.
True. True.
So I think, like, I don't think people should buy a Model S and X right now because it has been touched. But the Model 3, even if it changes in price, it's still, like, pretty good for the next few years.
But oh, yeah. People have been saying don't get a Model S or X since the Model 3 came out.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's that's like, the message.
Sure, you want. Say,
just don't get
buy one. But like,
that's it.
Oh, my
God. That's it.
No. That's it. Just don't get them.
Like, for me, I don't understand the point of the Model S anymore. I really don't. Like, having checked out one before, I had a distant family member who had, like, one of the early, early Model S's, like, when mm-hmm. they were new. And
wow.
I didn't get to drive in it or anything because I was pretty young at the time, and I didn't either. I didn't also know him very well, but still, he brought it to like some family gathering once, and we looked at it. And knowing the interior and the look of that car now versus now my extended experience with the Model 3, I'm just like, why would you get an S? The price point is so drastically. It, to me, it's like what's a good comparison? I'm trying to think of an iPhone comparison here.
Why would you get any Pixel ever?
No, it's because the Model S already is not comparable to a Pixel. I won't say that. I would just say like
Galaxy S10 5G.
No. What are two iPhones that are like really close together but not released at the same time? Like, okay, here's a good example.
X and XR.
Yes, thank you, Ethan. The iPhone X from 2017 and the XR. What if the iPhone X from 2017 was $2,000 and the iPhone XR was still $750? Like, that's how I look at the Model 3 and the Model S. It's like, okay.
That's a good comparison.
There are some things, yes, that the Model has over the 3. I give you that. They've got some performance enhancing, and they've got some some people may prefer that design, or you may like the extra speed. That's great. But we're talking, like, basically twice the price of this car that just came out, which it's a personal mm-hmm. preference, but I think it looks better. I think the design is more minimal and clean, and I think the outside mm-hmm. of it looks more futuristic, and the Model S just looks like a very basic sedan now, even though it's like an $80,000 car and it has all those cool features. Yeah. So that's where I stand with the Model S right now. It's like, I feel like the Model 3 was the ultimate cannibalizer of the Tesla lineup. It's like it makes the S so like
useless,
not useful. Yeah, it's like the number of people that'll justify the S now, I'm sure, has drastically gone down hugely.
If you're not a high end which is why YouTuber who you know, that's your YouTube car.
Ooh. Throwing shade.
Look,
we need to get Marquez on this podcast.
YouTubers
Gosh.
That intentionally pick the Model S over the 3 are probably the same YouTubers getting a Roadster.
That's it.
Oh,
that's it.
Oh, oh,
that's
oh,
it.
Oh.
That's it. It is what it is. I mean,
I want to see if someone out there like doesn't want the Roadster, wants the Model S, but doesn't want the 3. Like, try to find me that person.
Or I want the Roadster.
Yeah, I think they really need to upgrade the Model X the most.
Really?
Because I feel like, yeah, that one, I feel like there's a lot more, you know, bigger families that need the bigger space, the bigger.
Yep.
And that's a huge demographic, you know, those people that need to have a lot of people in a car.
Soccer moms.
Still get all the good features, all the
mm-hmm.
good stuff.
SUVs are
like the
one
Model
of the most
y,
common, yeah.
So, the Model Y kind of fixed that with 7 seats,
mm-hmm.
but it's still too small for most people.
Yeah.
But it is way more affordable.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it would be it. You can buy two Model. So this is what I was gonna say. You can buy two Model Ys for less than you can buy one Model X.
Yeah.
Less.
Less, yes.
Really?
$39,000 model Ys.
I want to check the site now.
Hey, while you do that, I just got to say just a quick little side note. All three of you talking, I'm just watching Bubbles compete for screen real estate, and it's just funny.
I'm more important.
Look at me. Yeah. Are you sure, too? Yes, too. And Ethan's
for those
in the
who can't
mind,
see,
so he's
obviously,
like, yes,
which is
too.
Everyone. And he just, whenever we do group FaceTime, there's usually only three of us, and that just makes the bubbles the same size on our iPads and Mac. Like, they're just the same size right next to each other. Now that there's four of us, it's like the bubbles are going back and forth, and we are
no, it's my
incredibly
turn to
entertained.
Talk. Move.
We are easily entertained, by the way, which is why the Model 3 is so cool to us.
I just took a screenshot that makes it makes Drew look like he's talking down to Ethan.
That's beautiful. Okay, so the base model Model Y
is 39,000.
It will become 39,000. I guess you can't order that one yet.
But so I'm talking base. So you get two of those, right?
Base model X.
Oh, they changed the price. Oh no, it's not, there it is. So that was with the savings.
89,500 before savings.
Yeah,
so that's easily you can get two
78. Yeah,
I agree. The Model X is
$11,000 cheaper to get two cars instead of one.
It's the most expensive consumer car they make. Does that make sense?
No. Oh, the Tesla makes yes.
Consumer grade car. People might buy the Model X and not be using it for, you know, Top Gear episodes.
Oh! Someone is saucy today, Drew.
I'm just saying the Roadster's ridiculous. That's all.
What
I'm saying.
What are you just saying?
No, the Roadster is amazing. Oh,
it's amazing, but it's not. It's not for like people who drive their cars like normally. It's for people who
I would. Oh, I would. I would be that guy. I would be the guy going to the grocery store in the Roadster.
Nick?
A, I couldn't fit in it, and I couldn't get out of it, because I totally don't fit in a Model 3.
I was
going to
say,
but
I see how you fit in a Model 3. I do not. They need to make a Roadster SUV edition for you.
No, absolutely. Nick, you're in timeout still.
See, it's funny, because no one else knows exactly what I look like sitting in a Model 3.
Nick is 5'26".
Yes, 5'26". That is an accurate measurement. The best way I describe it is
pitcher playing Bowser in Mario Kart. That's
no nice. fitting a marshmallow inside of a Hot Wheel is a more accurate.
A big marshmallow. Oh boy!
Oh my god!
Yes, I need an SUV, folks.
Yeah,
it'll fit. No, I wish it could though. Yeah.
Roadster's just
fun. Maybe Roadster has seats in the back, so maybe I'll just remove the front seat and I'll just sit in the back seat and
I have a different viewpoint of people who drive two door vehicles. It tells me a lot about the personality. Let's just say that
you could only afford two doors on your 1986
let me guess.
Honda.
Is one of the adjectives pretentious? He's not saying
to me, you got to sell people on the Tesla brand with functionality, not show off. Mm-hmm. And that is the epitome of
the whole Tesla brand started with show off.
Oh, I know.
What was
like,
the original Roadster?
They sold like five Roadsters and that paid for like
five. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. 5,000. Gosh.
At a million apiece.
Are you all right there, Nick?
No, I'm having a stroke.
I noticed.
We should change topics now.
We should. Hey, okay. So I was actually thinking about this.
Ethan has a topic.
So with my model Y, I really want the center screen to fold.
Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of fold, Nick,
you were about to go off on your Model Y and have an aneurysm, so I was about to cut you off, and I was going to say, okay, great, moving on. But then you segued it. You Rene Ritchie segued it. Into brilliance.
But you know what else folds, Nick? Galaxies. So many galaxies.
What was your
we
topic?
We love you, Renee.
Okay, so I was talking to Nick the other day about Mac versus iPads.
Ooh.
And I realized how much I hate Mac.
What?
Compared to iPad.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So let me explain.
Coming from the guy who hates iPad.
That's the title. Our app developer hates Mac.
Okay, so let me explain.
Okay.
So I love like macOS apps and the optimization and the APFS file system.
This is good.
And all this pro apps made by Apple, like Final Cut and Xcode.
Yes.
But I also love the new iPad hardware with the A12X chip and the slim bezels.
Same.
And just everything about it, I love.
It's ahead of its time.
And yeah, and too ahead of its time because all I want to do is use my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to. I want to replace my Mac with my iPad, and that's my only goal in life right now.
I think I love you, Ethan.
But the problem is...
Randy... Just stop.
We're going to have to cut that out.
I'm just saying, he's preaching exactly what I've been saying since I did the iPad challenge.
Wait till he continues. Ethan and I were on the same wavelength until he kept talking. I was like, no.
Keep going, Ethan. I want to hear the rest.
Because Mac, I mean, it has its good stuff, but it also has the clunky 3-pound or 1.5 pounds or whatever laptop with the... very, I don't know, like sticky hinge almost, where it's you need to put a lot of force just to open it, as opposed to the iPad where it like comes off like air with the keyboard. There's the you always have the hot metal on you or the table, or you hear the fans going full blast when you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot of RAM. There's just so much stuff that I don't like about Mac. Which is probably worse with Windows.
Don't get me started on Windows.
But the Pixel had 4 gigabytes.
Well, with iPad, there's this lack of stuff that I need to do. Like, I need to be able to access the hard drive partitions, and I need to be able to install developer tools and access internal files to code.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just something that Apple's never going to let on iPad because that just opens to viruses and problems.
Mm.
So it's this, I'm kind of in this middle where I would love iPad and I would love to replace my Mac with something smaller and more efficient. But I would also love to have all the Mac features without macOS. Because macOS is 30 years old, over 30 years old. iPad is only 9 years old.
That's true.
There's so much stuff that iPad... has potential for, you know, they don't have this 30-year-old bloated software.
You're bloated.
You're right. I
agree
think
everything
that's a great
you said
point.
Until you said 30 years old. I'm like, oh god, I feel old.
So you don't agree with the facts?
I don't agree with facts. My feelings don't care about your facts.
That's a great point, though.
Oh my!
And
gosh.
I think because of the rumors we've been hearing. For all of us, WWDC should be pretty exciting this year for the iPad.
I cannot wait.
Well,
I can't wait.
I don't think iOS 13 is really the answer. Like, sure, it's going to have increased file system and possible Windows support.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember that no apps are going to support Windows support because they have to make sure that apps support multiple sizes, like macOS.
Mm-hmm.
No apps are going to just do a lot of the file system stuff. It's just so much work on the developer side, not just the user and Apple side. There's just, iOS 13 is a good starting point, but there's still the lack of internal accessibility and developer tools.
I think that's similar to the slide over app support on the iPad. Like that's how they're going to handle like the Windows support thing is they'll essentially take the iPhone version of the app and treat that as a window.
Yeah.
It probably won't be as infinitely resizable as Windows are on the Mac, but on the iPad, it'll be there, but it'll kind of be fixated into a specific shape to be like brought over from the iPhone version so that coders don't have to work too hard.
Yeah, I think nothing really is going to happen with Windows support and all these intense things that only macOS can do. Until Marzipan, like, you know, iOS apps on Mac, becomes a thing. Because once developers start supporting iOS apps on Mac, then they could support infinite window sizes, they could support file systems, they could support all these things that macOS has.
Mm.
That once a good majority of apps support macOS, now iOS can become more like macOS. But at this point, it's the apps that are bringing them down.
True.
But there's also like Apple's guidelines. They have a guideline that says you can't run code on iPad, which kind of makes it so you can't code on iPad, even if you wanted to, even if a developer wanted to make an app to code, you can't because Apple doesn't let you. There's so much stuff that would take Apple 1 second to change without even a soft update and make iPad better, but they just don't.
Have you heard about Project Sidecar?
No.
It's a rumor that is coming around that says macOS is going to support plugging in your iPad to your Mac directly and just using it as an external monitor, like natively. And it's kind of a cheat, but you could, in a sense, like use macOS on the iPad hardware and have like Apple Pencil support, but still use your keyboard when you need to.
I don't want that.
Okay.
No, like there's apps that do that, but first of all, I don't want any more cables. And with wireless, it's just going to be too laggy.
True.
So they need to figure that out. But then there's also macOS not supporting touch. Like, for 30 years, it never even knew about touch.
Mm-hmm.
So for all these tiny icons to now support touch, which we saw Windows do it, and they fail pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
But the laptop's a touch screen. It's so much better than that Mac. It's a touch screen.
What are your thoughts, Randy?
Ethan's not done. And I was just asking Nick if he is feels all right.
So, like I've used apps that turn my iPad into a macOS display, and sure, Apple could probably do it better, but there's still limitations within the both OSs that will just ruin it. I mean, like the old iMacs used to be able to use an external display,
right?
And that works decently, but now you still have all these background processes on the Mac running.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be these little things that happen that's going to mess it up.
True.
There's never going to be a perfect solution for turning your iPad into turning something that shouldn't be external.
That's true. You know?
Like,
it's a compromise.
I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
At all.
It's a compromise, yeah.
So let me ask you this, Ethan. In regards to the whole going back to the iPad thing and hating macOS, are you in favor of merging the two in a sense when they were talking about doing it?
No.
Just removing
macOS. I mean, I'm in favor of sharing features almost.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how, more of like how the new version of Xbox and the new version of Windows share a lot of the features together.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't want Windows on Xbox, you know?
No,
I
me
want,
neither.
I want,
no one wants an Xbox. What are you talking about?
Hey!
I want my iPad. I mean, really what I want is a proper file system, developer tools, and mouse support, which most people disagree with the last part because iOS shouldn't support a mouse until, again, Marzipan happens and you could put iOS on Mac. But I think with mouse support, like when I close my laptop with an external monitor, it becomes a desktop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't do that on my iPad, which is a big deal because I don't have a desktop. So when I use my laptop, I can just have my iPad as a desktop, but that just doesn't work. And I don't want to have like gorilla arms all day touching my iPad display. It just gets tiring. I want to be able to, even if it's like the Apple TV's focus engine, where you kind of just like swipe and be able to touch elements, it's just, there's so much holding me back that I need to slouch, I need to tap the display, and I need to, my hand is a lot slower than my finger on a trackpad.
Hmm.
There's just, like when I was editing a video on the iPad, Sure, it works fine. Sure, it exports faster. Sure, it does all these things. But there's still the slowness of me dragging my hand across the display, selecting the right spot, the lack of fine control, such stuff like that. There's just a lot of stuff that iPad is being held back with that
so,
could easily add.
I've been using iPad exclusively for, what, almost 2 months now, something like that. I'm sure someone on the internet can calculate exactly how many days it's been, correct me.
A long time.
I would
never
do that.
For a good amount of time, I've been exclusively using iPad, and every single time I think that iPad can't do something, I spend 5 minutes and I figure out how it works on iPad, and then I know how to do it on iPad. Like a zip file. I had to download a zip file from my school's website, open the zip file, and find a spreadsheet inside the zip file. I was like, oh, iOS can't download on Safari. Well, no. All you have to do is open it up in Safari and say save to files. And then it saves the zip file to files. I'm like, okay, cool. But it still can't open zip files.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you click the preview button on the iPad and it opens zip files. And so every time that I've come up with something like, oh, I bet my iPad can't do this, I find a way of doing it. It's not the way that you would do it on a Mac, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's completely different, but you can still do it. You can get to the end result. You just have to change the way you do it. So my point is, iPad, the minimalism of iPad should not, you shouldn't add, Apple should not add any of the complexity of Mac OS, like, gesture, like a mouse, or you know, maybe even compiling code. I could see a fair point why they wouldn't want to do that. It just adds to the complexity of iPad, and the point of iPad is to be simple, be super duper simple. And anytime they add complexity, it just adds to that. And I don't want Apple to do that. I like my iPad as simple as possible, even though I have to learn new ways to do it. Go ahead.
However, that's not what they're advertising. They're advertising the iPad Pro as a pro iPad. They're advertising it for the prosumer.
I am a prosumer. You're a pro.
Well, you could unzip a file, but you can't zip the file back. There's a one-way street for most of them.
when would I ever need to zip a file?
When
like,
you
oh, send
to,
me a zip
like,
file.
Send,
I would send,
send
them an iCloud link,
file.
Is what I do. I'd upload it to iCloud
well,
via
you can't
the
send iCloud links a file, a folder.
Yes, I can. I'd put it into
that,
I'd put this is how I do it. I'd put it into an email draft, you know, all 10 gigabytes, and I'd email it to them, and it would use a mail drop, is I guess what that feature's called. Yes, everyone's making fun of me.
No,
there
no.
are ways
no,
to do
no,
it.
No,
like
no,
you think
no,
you
no,
can't
no.
zip a file.
Drew and
we're making
I are
fun. We're making
back
fun
and
of the.
Forth.
We're making fun of the back and forth. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
it's like,
I see
it's a good
both perspectives. I understand both, and I could take both sides if I wanted to, but I'm trying to take a third. I'm trying to say, like,
no, this is already too complicated.
Here's the thing. Apple is marketing the iPad Pro as a pro device, and for a lot of people, it can be. For a lot of people, like Nick, it can replace everything a Mac can't. And for a ton of people, like Ethan, it can't, because it's missing drastic features that the Mac has, and that's why I always say Apple's still making Macs. This isn't a Model S situation. Yeah. This is Apple still updating the Mac. Apple's still updating MacBooks, and they're working on the modular Mac Pro, so they clearly, like, and I completely see where Ethan's coming from with, like, the touchscreen can be inherently, and I think always will be, inherently slower than a keyboard and mouse for certain programs. There are workarounds. Like, I used to run my entire YouTube channel on an iPad, and I did that for, like, half a year. And then I was growing my channel, and I wanted bigger and better things, and decided, okay, I need a Mac because it's faster, it's going to have more processing power, and it's going to have the software I need to do the higher-end stuff. And I'm not saying that the iPad hasn't changed. Like, it has drastically. They've made it faster. They're giving it more pro-end software and hardware that I didn't have before. But now, like, let's say they start getting equal in regards to performance. The modular Mac Pro and the new iPad Pros, they've got equal CPU power. I know it's not going to happen, but like all of the Mac and iPad in regards to processing speed and stuff, they're the same. There's something about a mouse being a pointer on a display separate from a finger that you drag across a touchscreen that like will always inherently be more efficient for things like coding and or things like video editing where, yes, you can do it on an iPad, but is it faster? not quite. And there, it will be hard to test that until we have the day and age where like all the hardware is parallel in regards to performance. Yeah. We don't have that now. So the iMac Pro, the Mac Pro, the MacBook Pros, they all have kind of this advantage of way higher end CPUs and way more GPU, and they can be bigger. So the iPad will always have that disadvantage, is that it has to be, you know, thin and light and portable. So I guess where my confusion comes from is like, are you suggesting for Ethan, this is, are you suggesting they like start abandoning the Mac, stop updating Mac, and just start moving macOS features into a mode on the iPad so that when you want to, you can plug your iPad Pro into a monitor, Bluetooth connect a keyboard and mouse to it, and then use that as your Mac because it has all the power. And then when you're on the go, unplug the iPad and then use it in iOS form, and they kind of it kind of just becomes one device for the different functions.
Well, I don't think Apple is going to go with like the Samsung Dex where you it becomes a desktop.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
I would
yeah.
love. It would be cool. Mm-hmm. I don't think Apple would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the next 10 years or so, Mac is going to be more like iOS and iOS is going to be more like Mac.
Yes.
In which I think the 12-inch MacBook would be awesome if it could fold back. Well, not fold the display, but like have the keyboard go behind it.
Fold?
And have a touchscreen.
We're not there yet, Ethan.
Gosh.
With Marzipan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know this, but they shrink the buttons a bit because the mouse pointer doesn't need big buttons like your finger.
Right, right.
So it shrinks a lot of the things. I think once every app on the App Store in the Mac is an iOS app,
mm-hmm.
Mac OS is going to become a lot more like iOS, where it goes into touchscreen mode and now it's basically running iOS with Mac OS features.
Mm-hmm.
And with iPad, it's going to be a lot more like Mac, where it might have a DeX system, or it might have file sharing with flash drives or code compiling. They're going to be a lot more similar, but I don't think they're going to combine like the DeX or whatever.
Hmm.
So sure, that's like maybe 10 years down the road, but right now, I look at it, who was it, Steve Jobs or Tim Cook that did the truck analogy? Does anyone remember who
that was?
Steve
Jobs.
Was that Steve Jobs? Yeah.
Even heard the truck analogy.
In my opinion, and I agree with Steve Jobs here, Steve Jobs' opinion, quoting Steve Jobs.
Say his name four more times.
Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs.
All right.
I think
we know who you're talking about.
Steve Apple.
Wait, who are we talking about?
He started a company.
Yes.
I don't know.
Never
heard of
him. So the iPad is like a sedan. It's like the Model 3. You know.
Thank you.
Put
it into
for everyone.
Bringing
it
back
to regular. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. You guys haven't seen my lock screen. everything and almost everyone can do pretty well on a Model 3, right?
Yes.
Okay. You can get around town, you can get on the freeway, you can do a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the storage space might not be as much, and Goliaths like me can't fit behind the wheel.
Marshmallows.
But,
yeah.
You know, we can make it work. It's enough for 90% of the population.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mac is like the Tesla Semi. It's not for everyone. It's really, really cool. Uh-huh. How, like, you're sitting in the middle and, like, you have the two screens. Like, that's cool, but it's not for everyone.
Hmm.
It's for truckers and for people who need that extra horsepower to be able to haul, you know, 80,000 pounds.
Well, the difference is Apple is marketing the iPad as the Pro to replace all Pros. It's this, like, I think the Model 3 is more like the iPad Air, where it has not as much power. Not as, like, it has a keyboard and Apple Pencil,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, they're not marketing as replacing everyone's laptop.
Mm-hmm.
They're marketing the iPad Pro as replacing everyone's laptop. Their marketing is a new computer, the new age of computing, but they're forgetting about the essential parts. Because iPad Air is the new age of computing for someone's mom or a school. But the iPad Pro is the new age of computing for the potential of programmers and video editors and all these things. At least that's what they're trying to show it as. They did a video. They edited a whole ad on iPad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't show how much time they wasted doing it on iPad compared to doing it on Mac. they didn't show how much they advertise it as something that could replace your Mac, but not. But they're hiding the fact that it can't.
Well, I don't think it's exactly hidden because they announced a new MacBook the same day they announced a new iPad. Like, yeah. it's kind of still, I think, in that adoption process of can it replace most people's laptops? Yes, but not everyone's. They're still taking that mindset of, like, the Mac has a role. We're not canceling the Mac, and we still have a future there. Maybe think a little bit more broadly than just iPad Air, iPad Pro. Think iOS and macOS, because in regards to operating system, iPad Pro, iPad Air, they all can do the same thing. It's just a matter of what bells and whistles the iPad Pro is equipped with. And Pro's just kind of how they justify the higher price, because it has ProMotion display, which maybe professionals would appreciate, but everyday people wouldn't notice. Or Face ID, which is much more convenient, but a lot of people can get by with the Touch ID sensor. So it's all kind of bells and whistles, really, that make the difference. The software is the same on both, whereas I can see the comparison being made. It's funny that Steve Jobs talked about the Tesla Semi before it came out, but the Semi, I can see what you're going for.
That was Elon Tesla.
Yeah, Elon Tesla. I can see the comparison, though, of, like, most people will get by with the Model 3, and Tesla's not marketing the Model 3 as if they're marketing it as, this is your next car, this is the next great car you're going to have. But for someone who, like, works at a ranch and needs to haul equipment, then no, that's not the answer. But, like, yeah, that's where I would draw the comparison, is, like, Tesla saying the Model 3 is going to be good for everyone, and this is the more mainstream car. Yes, there are people who it's not good for. There are audiences that don't qualify for it or can't really take advantage of the Model 3's features because they need their car to do XYZ, and that's not what everyone else is doing ABC. So that's kind of how I see Apple handling Mac right now, is they're like, we've got all these years and years of development on the Mac side, but we think iOS is, like, the future, and that's why we're adapting everything for that. But we admit and we acknowledge the fact that we can't bring everything over to the iPad yet, or maybe ever, just because of the fundamental designs of the products being different, but we're gonna keep doing both, basically, which is probably the smart way to handle it, because that's what Tesla's doing. They're working on the pickup truck for those customers who need XYZ, and they're working on the Semi, but also they're putting a lot of efforts towards the 3, the Y, and that's how I would kind of compare it to iOS and macOS, is, like,
yeah,
pros need this, some people can get by with this. In fact, the majority of people, I think, can get by with iOS. Like, the majority of what people use their laptops for can be done on iPad. Like, back before the iPad was a thing, laptops, like, probably primary use was, like, email, watching videos, and just, Facebook. Like, Facebook. Social media, yeah. Before the iPad was, like, a mainstream thing. So that's the bulk of it. And they've covered that. In fact, lots of people can do their actual work stuff, like Nick does, on the iPad. And at the same time, though, there is that demographic that's closer to Ethan that we cannot switch completely over. It's not possible. So they're just trying to cater to both, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But the Ethan, problem is, you... I want it.
Yeah.
I want an iPad that could do everything.
That's the issue.
I think the iPad.
So here's my solution, all right?
Okay.
We're looking at it wrong. We need different accounts. We need a developer account.
The Apple Watch is everything. We're
going
to move to the Apple Watch.
It
yeah. Edit videos on WatchOS. We're bringing
command.
Xcode to the wrist.
There you go. This is the final OS right here.
AirPlay it to a monitor.
The final frontier.
That's right. I'm sorry, Reddy. Go ahead.
That would actually be really cool. You could AirPlay it to a monitor, and now you have a Mac OS from your watch.
That would be pretty cool.
That's like deep future. That's like deep, deep future. Yeah. They'll figure that out.
But if you could fold the watch.
No.
I'm sorry, gross. Randy. I keep interrupting.
No, you're good. It's fine. We're having a hearty conversation.
Yes.
I think we keep the iPad. Here's the thing. iPad strengths. One thing why I love the iPad so much, and it is my daily driver, and mm-hmm. it will probably be that for the next foreseeable future.
Yes.
The hardware is phenomenal.
I hate using the camera on my iMac. I hate it.
Yeah.
I love this camera. I love the way it feels. The near bezel-less display, but everything's symmetrical. And I love that everything that I use 80% of my time for can be done on iOS. And that is the social media, the YouTubes, the web browsing, the email responding. I could do most of that. Mm-hmm. Very literally, the only thing I use the iMac for is for Logic that I'm using right now to record this. And then Final Cut for video editing. Anything else, I will kind of use it, but... I use it a lot. I've married the two in a way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that LumaFusion can get done quicker for me than I can do in Final Cut. But But I'm going on a tangent. The point is that I like the hardware that the iPad provides, and now that we have USB-C involved and it's at play, I think it's all about utilizing the hardware to its max potential, and that's where I think iOS 13 will at least lay the foundation for going forward. But I think if we were to ever have a full-fledged transition away from macOS to iOS, and I'm talking specifically with the iPad, to have some type of developer account where you can log in, where basically you have multiple accounts like you would on macOS, and you can load your profile, and this one gives you root access, so to say, to the device, and you're able to do a little bit more further. Heavier use of it. I can't go into the. I don't know the specifics on how to keep it from being corrupted and affecting the rest of the device or pushing out malware of any kind. But the idea of using the iPad to develop its own apps, where it becomes full sentient at that point, right? It's basically self aware. The iPad's building its own apps, right?
You could make iPad apps on the iPad. That'd be kind of dope.
So I think we just got to be able to break down that little the wall, because macOS is what built off of Linux, and
kind of
it's a variation.
Yeah, I shouldn't say you're the expert.
it's a variant. It's a variant.
Yes,
and
sure,
and
I guess.
It's built now for it to be how it is like this, same way that we can get to the root access of iPad for iOS, and we get behind its Linux equivalent, and we are able to get into those types of deep grind coding and everything in between for that. I think we would be – if you were able to have that type of capability with a developer account and you can build off of it from there, I think that would be one more step, if not maybe the final step, to closing out – the bridge between iPad and iMac or MacBook or whatever Mac equivalent for it, with the exception of using there wouldn't even be an exception. You wouldn't need it for anything. My personal exception is that I want the pro applications of Final Cut or Logic on the iPad. I can't do my music. I can't do my audio engineering on the iPad. I've tried. It's not where it needs to be in a professional environment. Yet, but
have you seen the John Morrison video on it?
Yeah, yeah.
That audio guy did miracles with the iPad.
I paid attention, and then I went to that guy's channel and I watched his work. It's like, this guy's pretty good. That said, he's using some workarounds and some tricks, much like what Nick was saying with his own workarounds of doing the Mac equivalent.
Gotcha.
And I don't mind it, but it's not efficient for me. And now when I talk about the convenience of time, it's much easier for me to plug in my cable here into my preamp that goes into it, and I can't do that with the iPad. It makes it more difficult. So that little mini setup, I can do 90% of my music. Whoop, drop the iPad. I could do 90% using this
here. The problem with the iPad.
Yeah. But doing this and that, that's all I need for the most part. But if I can't plug in for the piano
for
or for
the
mic
audio
or for anything else.
I'm talking, sure Nick!
No, what's up?
I get what you're saying.
What's up, Nick? I'm just teasing you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna leave now. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Bye. Bye.
But one last thing.
Wait, don't you
one
mean really?
One more thing?
So I just want to, like, with iPad Pro, it's hardware if you compare that to an iPad Air or the last generation iPad Pro, the only thing that's similar is the OS.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
The only thing that's keeping the iPad Pro as an iPad is the OS.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was like a fifth operating system, you know, watchOS, tvOS, macOS, iOS, and then padOS or whatever, which I hate the idea of another operating system, mm-hmm. especially as a developer. But if there was like a fork, as they call it, of iOS, and made it where you could fit five icons on the home screen horizontally, or just have these developer features that are specifically for iPad Pro, which the reason macOS doesn't have viruses is because of its low market share.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's only like, 30% of all computers are Mac or something
yep.
like that?
Yep, yep.
Lucky us.
But the iPad, the iPad Pro is quite similar, you know? Most people have the iPad 6th generation. Most people have the iPad Air. Most people have the iPad 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, the iPad Pro itself, that market share is a lot smaller. So if they were to open up iPad specifically for that OS, that wouldn't do any damage because of its low market share. And they would get so many people to get it because almost every developer I talked to, I asked them, would they like to code an iPad? And they said, no, not on iOS, but they would love the hardware.
Hmm.
Everyone loves the iPad hardware, but they hate the OS. And
so... What hardware easy do you love? Change. Like, there's
I
no
love
mouse.
I love the 120 hertz display.
Yeah.
Slim bezels. Yeah, the processor, the no fan, the camera, the USB Type C.
Mm-hmm. I would feel like of anyone, you would not love this smart keyboard setup that we all have going on here.
I don't, for the record.
Like, it's
I'm not in the keyboard game.
Okay.
The only reason the only reason I get that keyboard is because of the smart connector.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I got it too. And the smart connector is convenient enough to make up for all the downsides of the smart keyboard. Because I was looking at Bridge before, and Bridge has, like, the Mac-looking case, mm-hmm. and it's nice and everything, but it's Bluetooth. And at the end of the day, I had a Bluetooth keyboard once upon a time, and, like, it was such a pain to switch it off every time you're done, and then switch it back on every time you wanted it, and then sometimes it wouldn't pair, and you had to go into the settings, mm-hmm. and it was just like, ugh.
Then my finger hurt really bad.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just so much questions.
It does fold, okay. So there's that. I guess it's okay.
Yeah, we still need to talk about that. Gosh.
What?
It's only been the entire news cycle all month. Or, sorry, 4 days now.
Are there? All but right. Before we move, do we have closing thoughts or last words on the last topic? That was an interesting discussion. I like that.
The iPad is the future.
It is.
It is the future. I just don't think that it should be combined quite yet.
I didn't say that. I just said it's the future, Nick.
God! Fine!
I just want it to be the future now.
Yes. I can understand that. I can
that's
follow
why you get a Tesla!
Stop yelling.
Because it's so easy for it to just happen now. But Apple is just holding off for some reason.
There's big companies with big customer bases can't change things too drastically. I wanted to remove the headphone jack on the 5S, and that didn't happen. And I also wanted the 2017 MacBooks to have touchscreen keyboards and not physical keys. And they got to move slow because people move slow, you know, like the masses.
Yeah.
My turn.
Introducing Talosive Hardware.
I'm going to help you.
The only place you can get.
I'm going to help you with the next segue. Ready? You know what also I wanted to see, Drew? I wanted to see devices that were flat in the screen that didn't inevitably fold. Speaking of fold, brilliant.
Well, everyone knows my thoughts on this. I think we should just have an open panel where all three of you talk about the fold at the same time over each other.
Okay, so
It's garbage. It's daring, but it's garbage.
I want one, but I don't want
You want okay. one? You, Ethan, you want
what?
One?
What?
Okay, so let me. I want this one. That's me out of
okay. We're gonna delete this entire podcast. We can't have this.
Like,
let's go across the other way. We'll start with Ethan, and we'll go.
Okay.
that way.
Okay, so I want a 6.5-inch iPhone XS.
Okay.
That could unfold into a, I don't know what the size would be, iPad mini or whatever. iPad, but only if it means there's no camera when it's unfolded. That way there's no notch or whatever.
So you want the Huawei method.
And no. Oh. I don't want it to be exposed at all times.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'd be fine with the front 10S Max version to be the front panel to be filled with scratches. You know, I wouldn't like it, but like...
Well, the fold's going to be...
That's going to take all the... Huh?
The fold's full of scratches anyway.
Yeah. Well, as long as the middle display, the inside display is fine, but I think the idea of having a tablet, like even if there was no display in the front, you know, just a microphone for phone calls, as long as I could just fold up my tablet like I could my wallet or whatever, and put it in my pocket and take it out, watch a video, go on Twitter, because chances are I don't need to have my phone on that tiny display pretty much ever. The only time I need that is for phone calls, quick text messages, which my watch can handle.
That's true.
So, if I'd gladly get a foldable tablet, not a foldable phone, a tablet, if it means there's no crease, it's made out of, which Apple made a patent, well, it wasn't Apple, it was another company that Apple is teamed with, where they made glass so thin that it folds, but it cracks when you drop it instantly.
Yeah. Okay.
But if they're on the same, they're on the track where they can make a foldable glass, and if they could do that, even if there was no camera on the front, even if there was no Face ID even. As long as it's just a tablet that could fit in my pocket, that's all I want. Because the iPad mini barely fits in my pocket.
Okay, Randy.
Get rid of the bezel on the mini.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah.
Where does Randy stand?
Oh.
Yes.
On fold, I don't see a function for it. I thought about, like, when we first was seeing all the hype for it a week or so ago, I was like, oh, put that function on an iPad, and then you got a purpose for it. But I also disagree. I disagree with that now. I don't see any use of it more than a gimmick, like having curved edges on a Galaxy S device, because I don't want to put my iPad in my pocket, because then... What I'm trying to say is I want the power of the iPad in my iPhone. And so if the convenience is put in my pocket, then unfolding it for the screen real estate, for me personally, I just don't see a practical use of me putting such screen real estate or power in my pocket as the one device. If it was something where if we're trying to minimize the amount of things that we carry on our persons, then it would it's something that – going at it by folding a device, a phone or an iPad or whatever, folding it, I don't see it very practical. What I see practical is extending certain features like to the wrist or to the eyewear or to whatever the next wearable device would be, and that's my fold substitute. I don't get it. I get that it's cool and it's new, and the closest argument I would give it is that it'd make a great Nintendo DS replace, you know, like, oh, there you go. It's a game, and you get the screen real estate for a game, and you're playing whatever. I just don't feel like it's something as a consumer. I'm not about it. I'm not a fan of it.
Okay. So here are my thoughts. Ready? Here we go.
Tesla.
Breathe in. I think the foldable future is coming. I think it will be interesting in 5 years when, you know, we actually have glass and, you know, all these little things have been worked out. My big problem comes from the fact that Samsung made it feel like it was today, the future was now, but it isn't. And so just in this, all this drama. So my problem is the drama.
Oh, okay.
Like the phone itself and also the fact that Samsung released the phone. But, you know, I totally agree. 5 years, you know, whenever they figure out the folding iPhone into an iPad mini, I'd be totally on board with that. I'd be the first person to get that. I would stand in line for that.
Okay.
But what I don't like is the fact that Samsung was like, they needed to be first. They needed to be first so bad that they released not even a beta product, not even an alpha product. It was like a negative product. It was so expensive, so unfinished.
Mm-hmm. So expensive.
They had a screen. Exactly. Renee, if you do listen to this, we do love you.
We love you, Renee.
We love you so much.
Congrats on 100K. So many subscribers.
So many subscribers. So many views.
We need to finish.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't like the fact that all the YouTubers got paid to, you know, or had the product early so that they, you know, had a positive impression on it. Could you imagine, though?
I don't think they were paid.
Blue from Unbox Therapy had something. Like, I don't know. Maybe the fact that the iPhone X was more expensive. He made, like, 8 videos on that, how, like, it wasn't worth it. Is it worth as much as the OnePlus 5T or whatever that was? No, it's not. But, like, the Samsung Galaxy Fold, it's a good phone. I really like it. You know, the screen doesn't work, but it's a really good phone.
If you take out the fact that it folds, it's a complete joke of a product. Yeah. That's always my response to people.
Huge
it's
bezels.
Like, and I'm not talking about the advantage of a larger screen in the pocket. I'm like, no, you can say that. I'm just saying, sell me on the Fold without bringing up that it's a foldable. Just tell me all the features. It fits in your pocket. It's a 7.3-inch display. It's plastic. There's a crease. It's incredibly fragile. The Verge uploaded their review after 4 days of using it, and it's already got scratches on the inside because of that plastic. You can't put a screen protector on. You can't take a screen protector off. And physics...
The case they give you is ugly.
Yeah. Physics deny, I think, the practicality of foldables. And I disagree with Nick and Ethan. I don't think it's the future. I don't think that one day it'll be ready. I don't think that we're going to figure out how to
make it.
Welcome
to the right side of the argument, Drew.
So that Samsung video, remember that Samsung, like, I don't know, 2014 or something?
Yeah,
product demo video like everything folding. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. I would love to see that.
I think it's cool. It's very neat. I'm just saying that's not going to happen. It's not it.
Well, stop being realistic, Drew. You are the Apple sheep. You're supposed to just, you know, want things.
Things that you fold repeatedly will wear out, and they will wear out fast. And hardware that companies sell now, the people are also denying the fact of the smartphone and tablet market is that, at least for the most part, smartphones are in decline. And tablets, for a long time, were in decline.
Was stabilizing.
What's that?
It's like stable.
Yeah. They're trying to find a new average, but at the moment they're falling. And tablets were falling for a long time until Apple made the budget iPad. That was how they changed the tablet market, was they made it reachable. They made it affordable. And there are fundamental physics that you can't ignore, whether or not you figure out how to fold glass or make glass thin or you make plastic durable. Things that you repeatedly do that over and over again, like paper folds, paper creases. Paper is not something you buy one piece of and then use for 2 years. Paper is used like once, you know. We're talking about technology that
I don't know how you use your paper, Drew. That's how I use my paper.
I use the same piece of paper for 3 years. No, like the technology you buy and you want it to last like at least a good 2 years. And if even if it had a shelf life, even if it had a life of 2 years, I think that would be disappointing, particularly for a $2,000 product. And they're also people are also ignoring the fact that like the products that are selling well or changing the industry are the affordable ones. It's the 10R, it's the S10e, it's the budget iPad. Those are the ones that are improving the numbers and the unit
it's
shipments.
The regular Apple Watch instead of the stainless steel,
the aluminum watch, not the additions. You know, it's those that change the world, change the market, and get the masses accustomed to the software, whereas Android never even figured out tablets, which is what makes me laugh so much about them trying to ship the Fold, is that they never even got tablet software right, and now they're trying to sell us on, well, it's a tablet, in phone mode it's completely useless. It's ridiculous to use that in regular phone mode. So I do agree with you guys that if Apple did make one, it would be the best one, because they get software better than Samsung,
Huawei. They wouldn't announce it. They wouldn't release it until it was the best one.
Case in point, they're not going to.
Yeah, sure.
That's my point.
Fine.
The tech will never be ready. But Apple's experimenting with it. I absolutely agree there. Like, that they're totally going to investigate. They're making prototypes, but they're not going to ask
most every yes.
They're not going to ask $2,000 a piece for it, and they're not going to release it. But if I'm wrong, and they ended up releasing the iFold or whatever, the Apple Fold, it would be the best foldable there is, because it would get the software right. It would get iPad and it would get iPhone in one spot, and Apple cares about longevity and keeping it up to date. So,
I think you go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was going to make kind of a halfway joke and then transition out of this. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think that people are going to look in foldables, but they're not going to realize that that glasses are going to become better than foldables faster.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to get to a point where foldables are halfway there, but now you take out your phone and it's already 12 inches.
You're going to have AR all over the place by the time foldables are figured out. If you somehow find a way to consistently crease and fold something back and forth like that, by the time that technology is far away, I'm just confirming it now. Like that tech is not ready, but the tech that's up and coming that would be even bigger than, a 7.3 inch display that can fit in your pocket is holograms that can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, that's.
I can't wait for macOS with AR glasses.
Yeah, just being able to add extra monitors wherever.
That's where I think external monitor support should be on glasses.
Yes, for sure.
Because then I could have 4 monitors and only pay for 1 glasses.
Right, or no monitors.
So,
yeah.
So I guess my biggest problem with this whole debacle is how the major tech YouTubers have treated this differently. I would really like to see if anyone here listening to this has the TARDIS, please go back in time and switch the brand on Lou's Samsung Galaxy Fold to Apple logos and just see how different it would be. Because, like, there's this aura, because Samsung has this, I'm going to call it a relationship, but in all actuality, we know that it has given certain YouTubers exclusive access to stuff so that they say more positive things about their product, even though they're complete garbage. You get Lou from Monobox Therapy going on there, and like, you know, it's a good phone. You know, it's really interesting technology. If it was Apple, he would be through the roof. We'd have to get out like a flipper and like peel him off the ceiling, because he would be stuck up there permanently.
He's got,
never come down.
I think the main point people are bringing up is the hypocrisy, because he uploaded a video on his second channel saying that if Apple did this, he would appraise it. He has no brand loyalty, he has no bias. But
no, please.
Like, we've seen examples. We're not basing this off of you like the Fold because you're biased. No, we're saying you don't like the Fold because this is how you treated the XS. This is how you treated AirPods. This is how you treat the Apple Pencil. This is how you treat, like, this whole track record of products that were first generation were criticized fairly, and suddenly when Samsung does something that we know for a fact everyone would flip out about if it was on an Apple product, because people flip out about, like, his biggest video is about how he could bend an iPhone 6 with his bare hands, and then these devices strong. Right. These devices start falling apart by themselves, and it's like, well, and he openly said on his video that he's babying it.
Yeah, but the Galaxy Fold can charge without tapping the screen, so it wins at that.
There you go.
Well, I'm excited for mine. I can't wait to see if mine breaks.
Are you going to even touch it? Like, if I had a $2,000 phone shipped to my door that was like fall apart if you looked at it sideways, I would just leave it in the box.
Well, Samsung's apologetic. I might get a free phone out of this, so we'll find out. Nice. Like,
true.
When the Note 7 thing happened, they promised everyone discounts and stuff like that. So we'll find out. I'm excited to see how it goes, though. Anyways.
Maybe all the airlines will be like, you cannot fly with your Fold.
Yeah. Not because it explodes, just because it's stupid. But we got to wrap up, peeps. So thank you all for coming together for this podcast. It was fun. I enjoyed chatting with you all.
Air power is dead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to mention it. And the Pixel sucks.
And the Pixel sucks. There, we're all covered. Oh, also, yeah. I thought Renee brought up a great point in his video that Apple didn't ship AirPower with a warning label on it that said use in a freezer. You know, no, they just didn't release it. That's the fundamental difference there.
That is a fundamental difference. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys, and we will check back with y'all next week. Have a good day.
Bye.
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 Today's episode of the Talos of Tech podcast is sponsored by Surett Wallpapers, spelled S-U-R-E-T, wallpapers, and they've sorted through thousands of images to deliver the most marvelous high-quality wallpapers for each of you. Hand-picked and handmade wallpapers for iPhone and the iPad, and they also make stunning blurred wallpapers easily with their own built-in blur tool. Brand new wallpapers are coming frequently. Download now to get access to the infinite content. And once again, thank you for sponsoring this episode of the Talos of Tech podcast, Surett Wallpapers, S-U-R-E-T, on the App Store.